Hebrews chapter 10. Hold your place there and then turn over to the end of the Old Testament there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. There's a couple other verses. We're going to look at those as well. But the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And I come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me here today boldly. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me your words. Give me your direction. Give me clarity of thought here today to speak your word. And Lord, I do pray if there is somebody here that cannot say that Jesus Christ is their Savior, Lord, I do pray that today they'll get that taken care of. Maybe here, maybe over the internet, whatever the case might be, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you have your will and way here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every person in this sanctuary and listening over the internet today will experience times in your life that will require you to possess great times of faith. Things are going to happen in your life and you're going to have faith. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that perilous times are going to come. Perilous times are going to come, not maybe, but definitely. They're going to come. It's going to happen in this life. You know, and these perilous times can come from any aspect of our life. They can come from illness. They can come from cancer. They can come from the death of a loved one, a sickness, financial woes, wayward child. They can come through persecution. They can come through suffering. But hey, the list goes on and on. But we already know that, right? The Bible tells us. Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles." That's the case. Lost, saved, it doesn't matter. Man is full of troubles in this world. That's the world that we live in. But let me ask you, do you have faith in these times to get you through these perilous times? You see, many of us here and over the internet are already going through trials. We're already going through tribulations, through trials, through storms right now that require us to be putting our faith to the test. They require faith in our lives, but how are we living? Are we experiencing faith these days? It says, "The just shall live by faith." You know, it's been said that a faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. So where is your faith? Do you have faith? And is your faith in the right place? You see, too many Christians today, they say, "Oh yeah, I have faith." They verbalize it, but their actions say something totally different. "Oh yeah, I have faith," but hey, they're all over the place. A trial comes, a tribulation comes, a suffering comes into their life, and you wonder, are they even saved because they're on to everything else in the world other than things of the Lord? In Mark 4:40, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" How is it you're born again, you're a Christian, and you have no faith? "The just shall live by faith." James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." That's what we need to be doing in these times of uncertainty, in these perilous times. We must draw near to God. That's the only way to get through it. We must draw near to God. If there's a sickness, an illness, we got to draw close to God. Now, you know what the world says? So the world says, "Oh, I've got faith." The world says, "Keep the faith. I've got the faith. Don't lose the faith." They have all these sayings. Basically, what they're saying is keep a positive outlook. But what does that mean? What does it mean? It means absolutely nothing. It means nothing at all. It might soothe your conscience for a moment, but it does nothing at all because there's no reality to it. The type of faith that we're talking about here with this instance has no power. There's no power to that faith. I think of certain people in the Bible that had great faith. Right, there's a lot of people in the Bible that demonstrated great faith. The centurion, he had great faith. Right, the nobleman in John chapter 4, he had great faith. Naaman's maiden in 2 Kings chapter 5 had great faith. Moses' mother had great faith. She hid Moses 3 days. And I think it's also the persecuted disciples scattered abroad, being persecuted, knowing that their life was in jeopardy, but they kept on. They kept on. You see, God is going to allow trials in our life. It's going to happen. God is always allowing trials in our life, storms in our life, whether it's a sickness, whether it's an illness, whatever the case might be. He's allowing it in our lives. And get this, you know why? Because He wants to stretch our faith. He wants to grow our faith. That's why. And you see, faith is kind of like the wind. It's much like the wind. We do not see it, but we know it's there. How do we know it's there? Because we can see the results. We can see the results, and real faith has substance to it. Now listen to this. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." That's a bold prayer, don't you think? Increase our faith. Have you ever prayed that? Hold on. If you've ever prayed that, hold on. Increase your faith. But hey, that's what we need to be asking. We need to be asking the Lord to increase our faith, because we all need our faith increased. But what does that mean? That means trials are going to come, yes. Storms are going to come, yes. But like you said, in the boat with Jesus is no better place to be. We're going to the other side. He is with us. He's going to get us to the other side. The just shall live by faith. So today I just want to ask you, do you live by faith? Do you live by faith? And let me give you a few thoughts here. Do you live by faith? Number one, by faith in the Word of God. Do you live by faith in the Word of God? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Listen, if you're going to have faith in this life, I mean real faith, not the world faith, real faith, it only comes from one place. It only comes from one place, and that's God's Word. By hearing God's Word, faith is based upon God's Word, not social media, not how many followers you have on TikTok, not the CNN news, not the Fox News, not any of that stuff. Faith is found in the Word of God. And let me tell you, if you're not here today, you're not being very faithful, are you? If you are not faithful to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God, you will have no faith. You will have no faith. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Storms will come into your life. Sickness, illness, whatever it might be, they will come into your life, and you will not possess the faith the Lord desires you to have in order to overcome that trial. Which also means that your prayer life will be hindered. We've been talking about prayer on Wednesday nights. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous man is a saved man, one who's walking with the Lord, not walking in sin. A righteous man. But you know what else? If you do not have time in God's Word every day, you will not have faith. You will not have faith to get you through these times of trouble. Faith comes by the Word of God. So what is faith? Aren't you glad the Bible gives us the definition of faith? Turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Should be pretty close there. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse number 1. He tells us what faith is. Amen? He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That's faith. Faith is the evidence of the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now those things not seen here are the truths of words of God's Word. The truths of God's Word are those things here. And you see, Noah's faith was based upon God's warning. Look at verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house." It was by faith. Abraham's faith was based upon God's call in verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went." It was by faith. He went out by faith, and Sarah's faith was based upon God's promise in verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It was all by faith. We can read all of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's by faith, by faith, by faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They were stepping out on faith. Verse number 13 says that these all died in faith. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. By faith. You see, the faith of all the saints was founded upon God's Word. They believed God, and it was counted unto them for righteousness. Without God's Word, they're lost. They're wandering around. Without the Word of God, there is no faith. Without the Word of God, you cannot please Him. Look at verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You cannot please Him without faith. That's why I'm stressing the fact to you today that because faith is only obtained by God's Word, it is so important to be faithful to church. It is so important to be faithful to your Bible reading. It is so important to be faithful to all aspects of your Christian life and prayer as well. But some of you might say, well, why read the Bible? What's so important about the Bible? Well, let me tell you, the Bible is the most important book. It is the most amazing book there ever was. No other book is quite like the Bible. You see, the Bible is God's revelation to us. God revealed who He is, what He is, what He's about, and He revealed it all in His Word, and He gave it to us. You see, the Bible was written by about 40 different men over a period of 1,600 years. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God used men filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, to write down exactly what God wanted written down. There was no deception. There was no lies. Everything fit together. How can that be? 40 men over 1,600 years? Because it's a book of God. God is the author of the book. The book is one book, but yet there's 66 different books in it. 66 different books with one theme. You know what that theme is? Jesus Christ. He is the theme in the Old Testament. He is the theme in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What does that mean? It means that God literally breathed out His Word. He breathed out His Word for you and I. And He preserved it. The Bible starts out in Genesis talking about the creation. Right? He tells us that God created male and He created female. He created two genders. There's not 150 of them. There's two. There's a male and there's a female. So if you're here today and you were born a male, that was what God's plan was. That was God's intent. He wants you to be a man, a male. And if you're a female, that's what He intended you to be. There's no discussion. There's no debate. That's what you are. That's what God created you to be. That's God's will for you. But then it goes on in Genesis 3 and talks about the fall of man into sin. The fall of man into sin. And then it describes throughout the Bible, the rest is God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament, literally fulfilled in the New Testament. Hey, all I'm saying is this, you must have faith in the Word of God. If none of us were there when it was written, none of us were there when it was spoken, you must have faith in the Word of God. And God promised us He would preserve His Word so that we could have faith today. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. All I got to say is this. Praise the Lord. There were so many people throughout all the years that were put to death, that were willing to be put to death, that died, that were burned at the stake, that were martyred, that were sawn asunder, that were decapitated, that were brutally, savagely murdered so that you and I could hold up an every word Bible. Right here we have an every word Bible. God preserved it for us. And you know what? Jesus talks about that very same thing in Matthew chapter 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word. Hey, he didn't say by the word of God. He specifically said every word of God. You got to have every word. I don't know about you, but I don't want words missing. I want to know what God said. If I'm going to take the time and read the Bible, I want to know every word that God said. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Verse 6 says, add not thou unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God's word is truth. Listen, you can be here and you can say, I don't believe God's word. You can deny it, you can reject it, it doesn't matter. God's word is still God's word. God's word is still true. All you need to do is by faith believe it. By faith believe it. So I ask you, do you live by faith in the word of God? Let me give you another one here. Do you live by faith? Do you have faith in the goodness of God? Do you have faith in the goodness of God? We say it all the time, right? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to what? His purpose. According to His purpose, His will, not my will, not my wants, but it's the goodness of God according to His purpose. You see, for those who love God, He gives us a promise. And this promise is one of the most precious in all of God's Word. Doesn't matter what we're going through, but this promise isn't for everybody. This promise isn't for everyone. It's not even for those who claim to love God in their own definition of love. You got to love God by His definition, by the Bible's definition. And here's an example for you. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Right? So if you want to know if you love the Lord, do you keep His commandments? Not just 10. All of them. The Word of God. Do you love Him? Do you keep His commandments? In John 14, 21, it says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You get the point here? If we love Him, we're going to keep His words. We're going to keep His commandments, right? But here's the thing. This promise of Romans 8:28 doesn't apply to me. It doesn't affect me. I can't claim it until I put my faith in it. Until I truly put my faith in it and truly believe it, can I claim it? You see, many of us here, none of us here know the future. We can't see what's going to happen tonight. We can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. But God does. God knows, and our decisions that we make and the trials and the persecution or whatever comes into our life, He knows how that's going to affect us. And He says it's all going to come out for good for those that love Him according to His purpose. According to His purpose. But here's the thing, we got to love Him. Do you love Him? You see, God's not in the business of making us do anything. He's not going to make us love Him. He's not going to make us keep His commandments. The choice is ours. We have a free will. He didn't make us to be robots, okay? We have a free will. The choice is ours. Either we live our lives by faith in the Word of God, or we don't. Or we choose to live by what the world says, and we just go our own separate ways. In Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God, not faith. Listen, I know the world's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. I know. And this is a presidential election year. It's coming up really quick. But we're not to put our faith and trust in a president. We got to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our faith and trust in God. He is the one. The king's heart is in His hands. He can turn it however He wants it to go. Our faith and trust is in God. It's not in a man. In Luke 12:28, it says, "If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you?" And He says this, He says, "O ye of little faith." O ye of little faith. Hey, I think we need to have our faith increased. We need to have our faith stretched. Do you have faith in the goodness of God? Do you have faith that He will provide for you? Do you have faith that He will take care of you no matter what? Good times? Oh, but preacher, my spouse is in the hospital. Oh, but preacher, I've lost a loved one. Oh, but preacher, I can't do what I used to. Oh, but preacher, my body just won't let me do what I used to do. Whatever excuse we make today, whatever excuse we're using, do we really trust Him? I mean, do we really put our full trust in Him? Now, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." Hey, are we trusting Him? Trusting Him with all we have. There's a person named Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, she's remembered for Christian Faith in Action. You may have heard of her. She was a Dutch Christian Holocaust survivor who helped an estimated 800 Jews escape from the Nazis during World War II. And during the German Blitzkrieg across Europe in May of 1940, tanks and soldiers invaded the Netherlands, and Corrie was 48 years old at that time, and she was bound and determined that she was going to help the people, so they turned their home into a safe haven for people trying to escape the Nazis. The Dutch resistance members carried big grandfather clocks into their watch shop that they owned, and hidden inside those long clock cases were bricks and mortar so that way they could build a false wall and a hidden room in Corey's bedroom. Although it was only about 2 feet long, 2 feet deep and 8 feet long, this hiding place could hold 6 or 7 people. And the hideout worked very well for about 4 years because people were constantly coming in and out of that business. But on February 28, 1944, an informant betrayed the operation to the Gestapo, and 30 people, including several of the Ten Boom family, were arrested. But they did not find the 6 people hiding in the secret room. They were later rescued, but Corrie, and along with her father and her sister Betsy, were put into the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her father and her sister died there. And here's the thing, Corrie was released a few months later in December of 1944 through an apparent administrative error. She should not have been released. And then it was a week later after she was released, all the women that she was with were put into the gas chamber and died. In the goodness of God, God's will, truly trusting Him. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." Do you have faith in the goodness of God? The number three, do you have faith in God's will? Do you have faith in God's will for your life? Have you searched to find God's will for your life? Have you tried to find God's will? Are you in God's will for your life? You see, God has a will for everybody. If you're still breathing, God has a will for you. Whatever it is, wherever it is, we just need to find it and do it. In Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Hey, we must continue in the faith. Things are going to come. He says here, much tribulation will come. Trials will come into our life. We shouldn't falter from that. We should stay straight on that and continue in the faith. And James 1, 2 and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Worketh patience. You see, those trials are coming. And you know what? God allowed them. God has allowed that trial into our lives to grow us. He wants to grow us. He wants to make us more conformed to the image of His Son. He wants to use that trial in our lives. And too many times we fight it. Too many times we cry, we complain, we want to get rid of it. We don't want to go through it. We go through it and we act like we're surprised we're going through a trial. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be going through a trial. What is going on with this? We get angry at God. But hey, don't get angry at God. Don't get swayed. Don't get off course. Remember, we're in the boat with Jesus. Peter got out of the boat, kept his eyes on Jesus. That's the key. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because why? Because there's a real devil in this world. There's a real devil, and he wants to keep us out of the will of God, and he wants to destroy us. In 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, and gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, that trial is to praise the Lord. That trial is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. That goal is a blessing through honor of the Lord, through glorifying the Lord. But what about when I get bad news? What about when sickness comes, or illness comes, death comes? Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Remember Job? I would encourage you to go read the book of Job if you haven't read the book of Job lately. Remember, God allowed the devil to torment him, and God allowed the passing of his 10 kids and all the cattle and all his wealth and everything. God allowed that, right? Those trials come. God allows those in our life for a purpose, for a reason, for His will to be accomplished. For His will, for His glory. Are you praising Him in the midst of that storm? Ooh, are we praising Him? Praise the Lord. Are we going through a storm? We're going through a trial, an illness, a sickness, the loss of a loved one. Are we praising the Lord and glorifying Him? 2 Timothy 1:12, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hey, Paul knew, and he was persuaded that God was going to provide. God was going to take care of him. God was going to deliver through the hard times. Let me tell you, God has a plan for you and for me. He has a will for you and for me right now, even though we're going through the midst of a trial right now. You know, we're either in one, in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. But He still has a plan, and you know what that plan is? That plan is Romans 8:29. 8:29, he says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." That is the plan. It doesn't matter the storm you're going through. That is the plan, that He wants to conform you and I to the image of His Son. But get this. Whatever it takes is what it's going to take. Whatever it takes to get you to conform to Jesus Christ is what's going to be done. It may take breaking. He may have to break us. It may take remolding. He may have to break us down and then remold us back up. It may take reconstruction. It may take the loss of a loved one. And it might even take our own lives. But whatever the case is, He is going to conform us to the will, or to the image of His Son. Because that is His will. That is His will for you and I. And He will achieve that purpose no matter what. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's why you and I are here. That's why He created us, for His pleasure. He didn't create us so that we could go and live in the world and be drunkards and drug dealers and druggies and just live for the world. No. He created us to bring glory and honor to Him. That's why we're here. But do you have faith? Do you have faith in God's will? Do you have faith in God's purpose for you? Hey, listen, Saul tried to kill David, but he never happened. He failed. The Roman soldiers tried to kill Peter, but they failed. Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus, but he failed. Pharaoh tried to kill baby Moses, but he failed. And Jezebel tried to kill Elijah, but failed And the list goes on. They thought they killed Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, but He rose from the dead 3 days later. And you say, why? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Nay, when they come at us, they're not going to defeat us. They might be able to defeat our flesh, but we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. We serve a risen Savior. We just need to live in faith, but it's going to require some things from us. Right? There's always, you get to this point, you always say, yeah, we're going to have to do some things. Right? If we're going to live with faith like this, it's going to require a rededication to the Lord over and over. Over and over again, it's going to require a surrender over and over. Paul says it best. He says, I die daily. That's the case. It has to be that way. I have to die to the flesh daily because I still have this old man. I was saved at 38 years old. I'm 48 years old now. I was living in the world for all of those years. I still have an old man. I have to die daily to the flesh, to the wants, to the desires of this flesh. Because why? Because that old man is still there. I have to die daily, and I have to just have faith in the Lord and trust Him. And those trials are going to come. Those storms are going to come. And remember, He's allowed them in our lives to conform us to the image of His Son. And that's what He will accomplish. Let me give you a fourth one here. Do you have faith in God's salvation? Do you have faith in God's salvation? In Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, it is our faith in Jesus Christ that saves a person. We are justified. We are counted as righteous, even though we are not. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been bestowed upon me that day that I was born again, and you as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took all my sins upon Him on the cross. He took all your sins upon Him Himself on the cross. You see, regardless of what the world says, the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus says that in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you see, people don't like that. People don't like that. The world doesn't like that. But this is not anything new. This is not new to our day and age. This goes all the way back to Cain, Adam's first son. You see, Cain tried to approach God with his own works. He thought he could bring his own goodness, his own righteousness before God, but he didn't acknowledge his sin and the fact that his works were unacceptable to God. And so Cain was rejected by God. And that happens from that point on till the day that still happened. Every person that attempts to come to God on their own good works, their own merit of good, has been and will be rejected by God. Because why? Because salvation is all by faith. All my righteousness is as filthy rags, but salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there are an estimated 8 billion people in the world today. That's a lot of people. More people than ever before, but you know what? All of those 8 billion people you could put into two groups. There's two groups of people living in this world. And I'm not talking about the color of our skin. I'm talking about two groups. There is one group that is trying to do things to get to heaven. They're trying to work to get to heaven. They're trying to be good and work and hope to get to heaven. But then there's the other group. They're not trying to work at all. All the work's been done by Jesus Christ. They just trust Jesus Christ by faith for His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So which one are you in? Which group are you in? In 1 John 5:12, He says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So 8 billion people in the world today, they're in one of those two groups. You have the Son, you have eternal life. You do not have the Son, you need to get eternal life today, because you don't know how much time we have left. And here's the thing, there's nothing you could do to work for it. Jesus already paid the penalty. He already paid the penalty in Romans 5:6. It says, For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the work. It's already been done. All you have to do is by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You say, why do I need to believe Jesus? Well, because there's a devil in this world. He wants to destroy you. And because the Bible says we have an appointment in Hebrews 9:27, an appointment of death. Death is coming. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is a judgment awaiting for us, and that judgment is an eternal damnation into hell if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 20:14 and 15, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And dear friend, that's eternal. That is eternal separation from God. It's eternal separation from loved ones that has trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's eternal separation in a place that God never intended you or anybody else to go. Only the devil. But hey, do you have faith in God's plan of salvation? In Galatians 3:11 it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. So do you live by faith? Do you live by faith? I'm not saying just words are actions. Are we doers of the Word? But do you live by faith? Do you live by faith in the Word of God? Do you believe this book? Do you believe every bit of it? Do you have faith in the goodness of God? God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Do you have faith in God's will for your life? Are you in God's will? And do you have faith in God's plan of salvation? If you're not sure about that, in just a moment we'll have an invitation and we can show you from the Bible how to know for sure you're going to heaven. But let me tell you this. The just shall live by faith. Let's pray.